Welcome to Scripture Beneath the Surface, an outreach of Preparation Ministries, a presentation to encourage God's people to embrace a life of holiness and to move away from the worldly lifestyle of today's church. It is our hope that you will come to understand the message of 2 Corinthians 6, 17, and 18, which tells us to come out from among them and be a separate people. We bring this to you because we believe Jesus is coming soon. Now here is our host, Randy Smith.
Hello. Thanks for being with us. Today, I'd like to continue where we left off last week. Last week, we talked about Revelation 6, verses 5 and 6, which describes the spiritual famine for the Word of God, which is already here and has been brought about by the installation of Satan's world system of knowledge, which is quickly replacing the knowledge of God. If you missed the program last week, please request it. It is free for the asking, as are all the messages that we bring to you. Now, let's move right into our subject and consider the fourth horse of Revelation chapter 6, the pale horse. Death sits on this horse, and it is followed by hell, which means that this rider is the death which brings eternal damnation. This eternal death is successfully accomplished toward many people of earth by Satan's worldly system, which is successful with the help of four things. These are four general categories of situations which destroy faith in God. As we spoke last week, the image of the beast is the greatest tool in Satan's planned end-time destruction of mankind's faith in God. Using this tool, his intent is to cause all people of earth to look away from God and focus on the things of this world. His purpose is to cause the people of earth to become so involved with things of this world and with the knowledge of this world that the things of God and the knowledge of God no longer seem to make sense or no longer seem to be necessary. As I said last week, if the time were not shortened, Satan would be able to accomplish his diabolical goal. When we look at the rider on the pale horse, we see that this rider can kill, and that he can do it with the help of four things. These four things are the sword, famine, death, and beasts of the earth. The sword might best be described as Satan's ability to destroy by his lies. Just as the sword of the Spirit is the word of God and proceeds out of the mouth of the Lord, so Satan's sword is his word of lies and proceeds out of his mouth. This is an attack against truth. Without truth, there is no faith. The second tool mentioned in these verses is hunger. Because the nature of man is selfish, there are those in the earth who have plenty, while there are those in the earth who have very little of anything. Physical hunger destroys faith in God. Because God's word tells us that he will provide all our need according to his riches in glory, those in the midst of famine lose faith in God. This, once again, causes eventual spiritual death. The third tool mentioned in these verses is death. It's interesting to read these verses and realize that death can kill with death. But what it is really saying is that death is an enemy of faith. Because humans fear death, they tend to look anywhere they can to find an escape mechanism. But because death is inevitable, it wields a power over mankind. In Revelation, we find that the last enemy of God that will be destroyed is death. It is an enemy because it brings great fear upon man. Satan uses the fear of death to destroy man's hope. Jesus Christ is the hope that replaces the fear of death. Nevertheless, this tool of Satan is powerful. The fourth tool mentioned in these verses is the beasts of the earth. This refers to the animal or beast nature of man. The beast nature of man opposes the spiritual nature of God. As I've said before, Satan chose the beast nature, the animal nature, to exalt himself above the throne of God. He could have chosen to remain with God and submit himself to the spiritual nature of God. However, he chose to be the prince and power of the air, rather than to be the chief angel under the authority of God. He used this same animal nature as a ploy to draw one-third of the angels away from God. In fact, Revelation 12:4 describes this action as using his tail to draw those angels away from God. The tail symbolizes the animal nature, which relies on natural forces for strength and power. Natural man breathes air because of the need of his fleshly body. Born-again man breathes in the Holy Spirit of God and therefore becomes a spiritual being, even though still locked in this body of flesh. We know that when the warfare between good and evil is over, flesh and blood will not inherit the kingdom of heaven, but only those who are born again in spirit will go to live with God. The warfare continues and attempts to destroy a man's faith in God by the beast nature of man. All those of earth who exalt themselves through the carnal nature and becoming strong through the powers of this present world destroy the faith of those who trust in God. As the people of God see the people of earth who are wicked become prosperous, they become discouraged and may also possibly be drawn to be like those other beasts of this world. The temptation to act according to man's animal nature rather than with the spiritual nature of God is very strong in humans. The only one who was ever able to overcome that animal nature and remain pure was Jesus Christ. The process we see in Revelation 6 is a time of great tribulation for the saints of God. It is not necessarily a time of physical tribulation, as is generally taught by Bible scholars, but is a time when their faith is under extremely great trial. We are told in Revelation 3:10 that this great trial of our faith will come. Notice that this trial is to try our souls, not our flesh. We must remember that when the enemy is trying to destroy souls of men, physical tribulation is not always necessary. Satan doesn't have to use a physical sword to kill your soul. All he has to do is destroy your faith in God, and your soul is destroyed. Great tribulation is currently in full swing in our end-time world, for it is a demonic attack against faith in God. Physical suffering is not necessary. Just encouraging man to spend his time watching sports instead of reading the Bible will destroy his soul. Man is largely unaware of this threat to his faith because he is always looking for Satan to bring physical trials, not amusements. People are deceived because they don't equate worldly amusements with evil spiritual warfare. But we can see this attack coming if we look more closely at what the Bible tells us. In Revelation 3:10, we see that there will come a time of great trial upon all the earth in order to try men's souls. The four symbolic destructions used by the fourth rider bring great trial, great tribulation, to God's people. There is great doubt mounted up against faith in God by those four types of different situations of earthly life. It isn't so important to understand what each of the four tools represent, but rather to understand that God has allowed Satan to have power in the earth to deceive. But no matter whether sword or famine or death or beasts of the earth, the truth of God can overcome all these things, no matter how much doubt they produce. Yet it is a great time of tribulation, which we are enduring at this present day, for these things have increased significantly in these last days, and the destructive power against our faith is much greater than it was before knowledge was increased. The Bible tells us that in the end times, knowledge shall be increased, and many shall run to and fro. The running to and fro symbolizes the concept of self-help. Instead of standing still and waiting on God for your help, the increase of knowledge took a giant step forward in these last couple of hundred years. In 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, we see that the power of Satan is hindered for several hundred years after the time of Christ, but that eventually the hindrance to Satan's working with power is removed. These scriptures tell us that he will be allowed to work with powerful signs and wonders prior to the coming of the Lord. From the time man was able to harness the fire from the sky, man's heaven, knowledge has been increased, and the extent of man's knowledge of science and technology has mushroomed into ever-increasing proportions. The ensuing wars became world wars instead of isolated wars. Famine increased, death increased, and the selfishness of man has moved from being regarded socially as evil to being exemplified as a wonderful attribute of man. We are now in the midst of the Great Tribulation. This is not the same thing as the wrath of God, but is the trial of our faith, which comes prior to the day of the Lord's wrath. All those of the world who refuse to accept Jesus Christ as Master, as Lord and Savior, will be those who were unable to patiently wait for Jesus Christ, which means to hold on to their faith in spite of all the doubt Satan throws at us. The numbers of people who will die the death that brings the lake of fire will be immeasurable. But as this great tribulation continues, God will stop the destruction of his people before all are lost. There is a process that will take place at the midpoint of great tribulation. The reason I say that this will take place at the midpoint is, at least in part, because of the scripture in Zechariah 14, verses 2 and 3, which says, "For I will gather all nations against Jerusalem to battle, and the city shall be taken, and the houses rifled, and the women ravished, and half of the city shall go forth into captivity, and the residue of the people shall not be cut off from the city. Then shall the Lord go forth and fight against those nations as when he fought in the day of battle." This is a prophecy of the end times and signifies that time which is shortened for the sake of the elect. The Great Tribulation will continue its onslaught, but what will be shortened is the time period of Satan's ability to deceive because of the lack of understanding of God's word in the earth. What will be shortened is the time period of the black horse of famine. The famine for the word of God will cease. In Revelation 1:16 and chapter 19, verse 15, we see that the sword of God proceeds out of his mouth to destroy his enemies. This sword is the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. In other words, the understanding will begin to come back to God's people. Up to the midpoint of the Great Tribulation, there is a continual destruction of God's truth. Symbolically, this can be stated as no green grass for the sheep to graze in. Using this same graphical description, there will now be lush green pastures for God's people. Although Satan will continue to operate his worldly system of barter and selfishness, God's people will come to realize how wicked the world has truly become and how much God's people have been immersed in the midst of it. In fact, they will realize they are in the midst of Babylon the Great and will finally understand why the Bible tells God's people in both the Old Testament and New Testament to flee out of the midst of Babylon. They will also see how God's people have been destroyed by destroying their faith in God. When they see this, they will be reminded of the scripture in Matthew 24, verses 15 and 16, which refers to God's people seeing the diabolical working of Satan with all power and lying wonders, and fleeing to the mountains. Let me explain to you what this fleeing to the mountains means. This will take quite a bit of explanation, so bear with me. When Jesus was ready to ascend into heaven after his bodily resurrection, he led his disciples out from the city of Jerusalem and traveled until he approached Bethany. At this point, he rose into heaven. The disciples were told by two men in white clothing that Jesus would return in this same manner, and in that day, his feet would stand upon the Mount of Olives, and the Mount of Olives would split in the midst, and half of it would move toward the north, and half of it would move toward the south. This would create a very great plain or valley from east to west, which starts at Bethany and ends at Jerusalem. This, contrary to many teachers of biblical prophecy, is not a physical event. Once again, I remind you that it is easy to make a logical, physical conclusion of prophecy, but that doesn't mean you have ears to hear. What Jesus was telling his disciples was that symbolically, his feet would touch the Mount of Olives as he approached Jerusalem to set up his earthly kingdom. When God's people see the abomination of desolation for all its diabolical working, they are to flee from Babylon, or, in essence, flee from the participation in all things which they recognize as being evil. In symbolic sense, when God's people recognize that Satan has been deceiving God's people with great signs and wonders, which are miraculous in the context of earthly physical powers, they will flee from all that is now recognized as wicked. Their flight will be away from the wickedness of the earth and toward the righteousness of God. Their flight will be in expectation of the Lord's soon return in the clouds of heaven. This symbolic valley of the mountains will reach to Azal, which is a symbolic name for Jerusalem, or the city of Zion, the city of our Lord. This valley is also referred to as the Valley of Decision, meaning judgment, or the Valley of Jehoshaphat, which also means judgment. It is the time when our Lord's judgment comes to judge all those who dwell upon the earth. In essence, when we see the abomination of desolation, which means that wickedness which makes desolate, in that it destroys our faith and brings death, we will turn from the wicked ways of this world in which we are caught up and will run to the Lord. As the Lord returns in the clouds of heaven to enter his city of Zion, he scoops up all his children into the clouds with him, pours out his fury upon the wicked, and with his bride enters the city of Jerusalem. We know that the splitting of the Mount of Olives by the touch of Jesus' feet is not a physical thing because Jesus will not touch the earth physically until his people are caught up to him in the clouds. But this is a difficult concept at this time to understand because of the famine for the Word of God that he has allowed to come upon all the earth in order to try men's souls. But I believe God is, at this very time, in the process of standing up and restoring the truth to his people. As God begins to show what has really been happening to people of the earth, true followers of God will shun the worldly ways of dress, the worldly ways of prosperity, and the might and power of man. They will turn wholly to the Lord in expectation of his imminent return. They will cast away the things of this world as they would cast away an unclean cloth. They will separate themselves from all that is evil. They will turn away from the love of money and from focusing on that which brings lust of the flesh, lust of the eye, and pride of this life. They will do what Revelation 7 says they will do. They will wash their robes in the blood of the Lamb, by spiritually fleeing out of Babylon and running to the place of the mountains.
We hope you're finding today's message interesting. If you would like a copy for your own use, please listen after Randy's closing thoughts for our contact information. As long as the Lord enables us, we will provide all of our materials free of charge. Please be assured that you will not be asked for any donation. We believe God will supply our need as He sees fit. God's word is freely given. Now, once again, here's Randy.
Christians at this time have robes, but they are soiled. They need to be washed. Before the Great Tribulation comes to an end, Christians will be revived. They will come alive from the dead, from the unconsciousness, from their unawareness of how rampant sin is in their lives, and how much they are entwined in it without realizing it. There will be a revival of God's people like no revival ever seen before. However, Christians will understand what is taking place, just as it says in Daniel 12:10, but the wicked of the world will not understand. For them, Jesus will come as a thief in the night. When God's people finally come to a realization of how Satan has been working with all power and signs and lying wonders, and realize how he has deceived the people of God as well as the wicked of the earth, they will rejoice in the truth which proceeds out of the mouth of God. When the last of the elect have washed their robes, we will see the fulfillment of the fifth seal of Revelation. This is a time of white robes being distributed to all those who turn away from the world and focus on God with all their heart, all their soul, and all their strength. Let's take a little closer look at the fifth seal of Revelation 6, verses 9 through 11. The only thing these verses tell us about the fifth seal is that white robes are given to those souls who are under the altar. Some explanation of the principle of sacrifice on the altar of God is necessary in order to understand the implications of the fifth seal and souls being found under the altar. In the Old Testament Law of Commandments, sacrifices were slain and put on the altar to be burned. The altar was a large grate which allowed the ashes from the burning sacrifices to filter down below and land on the ground under the altar. The only way to become a soul under the altar is to become a living sacrifice or a martyr for the sake of Jesus Christ. When you give yourself as a sacrifice that is acceptable in the eyes of God, the fire of heaven consumes the sacrifice, and the sacrifice becomes ashes which filter through the grate and lie on the ground under the altar. To become a sacrifice is to set aside your worldly life of selfishness, just as Jesus Christ set aside his worldly life in the flesh, and gave himself as a sacrifice for others. There is no other way to become a soul under the altar. Therefore, when you leave the enticements of the world, when you come out from among them and become separate, then and only then can you become a soul under the altar. Satan's world system is designed to prevent all people from becoming souls under the altar. It is the only way to attain salvation. Everything in Satan's arsenal is posed to destroy self-sacrifice. Everything in Satan's arsenal is designed to discourage man from living a life of righteousness and sacrifice for others. Satan would rather that we live for lusts of the eye, lusts of the flesh, and pride of life, which are the three general categories of living for selfishness. Selfishness is the opposite of self-sacrifice. True love is self-sacrifice. That's why perfect love casts out all fear, because when you love perfectly, you have become an unselfish self-sacrifice, and you have nothing to fear because there is nothing left of you that anyone can harm. When the white robes of purity have been given to those who have fled from the worldly system of evil, then the great tribulation will come to an end. At this time, the sixth seal of Revelation will be opened. At this time, the sun and moon will lose their brightness and the stars will fall from heaven. But then, there isn't time to go into a description of the sixth seal this week, so we'll have to continue it next week. I would encourage you to be with us. If you can't be with us, please request the free teaching series. And even if you can be with us, we encourage you to ask for the CDs and transcripts of these messages. All messages are free. All CDs are free. Please listen to the announcer at the end, and she will give you the information you need. Thanks for being with us.
Thank you for joining us for Scripture Beneath the Surface. Today's message was a partial presentation of a three-part series on current and end-time events. If you would like this three-part series, please contact us and ask for numbers 29, 30, and 31. Messages are available on CD and/or written transcript. As always, there is no charge for our material, and you will not be asked for any donation. In addition, we will send you the complete list of our messages, which contain such topics as Image of the Beast, Mark of the Beast, and the Rapture. There are several ways to obtain our messages. Just contact us in the way which is easiest for you. Our postal address is Preparation Ministries, P.O. Box 475, Olivet, Michigan 49076. That's Preparation Ministries, P.O. Box 475, Olivet, Michigan 49076. We also have an email address. It is preparationministries@gmail.com. That's preparationministries, all one word, @gmail.com. Or you may contact us by telephone. The number is area code 269-763-2114. That's 269-763-2114. We also have a website. You can find us there under the name preparationministries.net, .com, or .org. Preparation Ministries is all one word. Thank you again for listening to Scripture Beneath the Surface, and may God bless.